Yes, that line forms on the right. Babe, I'm not letting them do it to me.
Not that Maggie.
I'm going to sing today. Back in town. That's all I got.
Look out, old Maggie.
Yeah, I'm back. Yes, sir! Yes, sir! 203 on the fan. McMonagle here with you. But he's got his best wide receiving core. But the offensive line is completely revamped. But he's actually got a team around him. And Dable's doing the play calling. Woo! Why'd I let it ruin my day? I don't know. I should have known. It was a beautiful morning, too. What a beautiful morning it was. Like, perfect weather. I walked out of my house, 9 o'clock in the morning. I was in my backyard, sipping on my coffee, checking on the pork shoulder that I was, you know, cooking all night long. Low and slow. As I got my pork shoulder ready for some pulled pork. As that was on the pellet grill all night long, the glorious smell of pork fat roasting in the morning, sipping my coffee out in the beautiful weather, not a cloud in the sky, 50-something degrees. It was glorious. And I was so excited for the football season to begin, as all of us are, right? As Jet fans will be for tonight, as Giants fans were yesterday. It's great. It's the greatest thing ever. We got two games already down. We got a great opening night on Thursday. Then the disaster that was the Brazil game, we'll get into Saquon Barkley if you'd like. And it was just, whoa, football season is back. It's a beautiful fall day. Everything's wonderful. And then I turned on the slop that was the New York Giants, and specifically Daniel Jones. And what an absolute disgrace. Back-to-back years of opening the season for this New York Giants team. What an absolute disgrace yesterday was. At least last year to the Cowboys, you could say, you know what? They've got Dak, right? They got Micah Parsons. Oh, they lost Andrew Thomas. There's, you know, some sort of excuse coming off a playoff appearance where you could somehow convince yourself that maybe the rest of the season won't be so bad. What do you have now in the year of Daniel Jones? That's what it was called, the year of Daniel Jones. Take six, of course, but that was what we heard the last couple of words, right, of that dopey show. Now it looks dopey. Now I go back to Hard Knocks and I think about how stupid everything was that was done for this team, putting it together. But the year of Daniel Jones, dun, 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 they fade away. Remember that? The year of Daniel Jones. What an atrocious performance, and I don't care. I don't want to hear he's coming off major surgery. It takes time. Look at what happened with Cousins in Atlanta. It takes time. You got to, you know, major injury. I don't care. He's throwing at everybody's feet. He was atrocious in this game. I mean, it's hard to fathom how bad he was. And we've known it for a long time. You know I've been on the anti-Daniel Jones. I've defended him on some level where the noise has gotten crazy that he's the worst quarterback in the league, or, you know, guys coming in and haven't taken a snap in the NFL or better and all the nonsense that goes on. Well, it doesn't feel like nonsense today because you can't play worse than that. This is the guy who they signed a contract to. This is a guy we're waiting to see. If this is the future of our franchise, I can't watch it anymore. My eyes are bleeding watching it. And that doesn't forgive the coach who took over the play calling and has gone reverted right back to what he was last year, scared Brian Dable. We heard all year long, all offseason long, they were going to take deep shots at Neighbors and Hyatt and Wandell Robinson. They were going to go down the field. And Daniel Jones wasn't going to play this safe, not-want-to-make-mistakes crap that's been beaten into his head. And sure, have the Giants done everything to ruin him? Absolutely. I heard Lori talking about it, rookie season with the touchdown passes, all the different coordinators, all the different head coaches. 100% true. The Giants did everything they could to ruin this kid. The man, the owner told you as much when they hired this group of Shane and Dable, that we did everything to ruin this kid, and he is ruined. And they're still throwing him out there. Sam Darnold walked into this building. Sam Darnold walked into this building, went 12 for 12, including a 99-yard drive and a fourth down touchdown pass to Justin Jefferson. He absolutely embarrassed the Giants in the first half. He did nothing the rest of the game because he didn't have to, because the Giants' offense is completely inept. Completely inept, including this head coach who's down 14-3. We all know it. Everyone's going to kill him for it. He's asked about it in the postgame. And you know me. I don't get hung up on postgame answers. I would just like one. Like, you don't have to give me great answers, and I think they're overblown sometimes, the reaction and the defending of players and all this stuff, and I think we get hung up on postgame sound. Brian Daboll didn't have a postgame show. Brian Daboll had nothing to say about his offense and his team looking the way they did as the Minnesota Vikings came in and absolutely rolled all over them in every facet of the game. But he has an opportunity, 14-3 towards the end of the second half, 4 minutes left in the first half. And we see this same coach who his first year, maybe it's before he got to know Daniel Jones, I don't know. But something has left this man where this was an aggressive coach going for two. The first game of his career with the New York Giants against Tennessee, going for two to win that game. That was Brian Daboll. That's what this team became. That's what this team rallied around. And we're seeing a coach who is either A, afraid to call plays down the field, or B, doesn't have a quarterback who can see plays down the field. And I'm likely to lean towards B, that this quarterback is just unable to go down the field, whether it's his fear of getting hit, his inability to have any pocket presence, his inability to make decisions and make reads, whatever the case may be. Between the two of them, they can't attack. And Flores, the defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, who is suing the Giants for not hiring him, is that a class action suit? I'll join. Because right now, he embarrassed them defensively. He just said, I'm going to sit back. I don't think you can attack the field. I don't think you could put forth an offense. I don't think you can string plays together. And he's 100% right. But the coach has an opportunity to just instill some confidence on a fourth down play after on third and short you do a quarterback offside run. That's a play that when you run that, you better follow it up with a fourth down. You don't run that play on third down and then punt. I mean, just unbelievable the level of fear, the inability to show any kind of confidence in this group. And don't tell, like, and it's just watching Daniel Jones play the quarterback position. It's just, we saw the same thing again. He is terrified to make a mistake. Terrified. And I firmly believe the one answer that the coach did say in the postgame when asked about attacking down the field, he did quickly before he went right into, I got to watch the film and watch the tape. He did say, well, the plays were called. I'm sure there were plays called. You have to, he is unwilling to go down the field because he's been beaten into his head that as long as he doesn't have turnovers, he's played a successful game. That's what 2 years ago, affected this team in so many ways, whether it's giving him the contract, whether it's having faith in him, whether it's not being able to get Daboll a young quarterback to actually try and develop, or whether it's also beating into this young quarterback's head that as long as I don't turn the football over, maybe I can win games. Because he is unwilling to take any chances down the field. And in the NFL, and this is what I've been saying for 2 years, in the NFL, you have to take chances if you want to win the game. And it's great. Oh, hey, he stopped turning the ball over. He stopped fumbling. Do you know he was the least turned over quarterback in all of the NFL that year? Do you know he threw the least interceptions of anyone in the league that year? Yeah, because he looks for his first read and then tucks and runs. And we've seen it over and over again. They don't score another game where they're unable to score a touchdown. They don't score touchdowns. And whether it's this GM who's shown faith in this quarterback, or whether it's the head coach who took over play calling and yet still doesn't attack, I mean, it's just embarrassing what's going on right now. This offense, unable to score points, plain and simple. And I've been told, oh, well, now we've got Neighbors, a legitimate number one, something Daniel Jones has never had. Oh, the wide receiving corps is so much better. Oh, they've added all these offensive linemen. They're going to be able to, you know, block it and give him time to get down the field. There is no such thing with Daniel Jones. There is no such thing. This is what we're getting year six. And I'm telling you right now, they got Washington next week. If they don't win that game, what game are they going to win? We are staring in the face of another Giants season dead before Halloween. Dead before Halloween. And the only saving grace of it all is we won't have to watch Daniel Jones because they'll be forced to move on from him because they're afraid to get hung on the hook for next year's contract. Because if he gets hurt, they're locked into him. But they don't have another option because this quarterback room, ironic, all they have is Drew Lock and Tommy DeVito. That's the quarterback room. They have no options. It is a disaster at the position. And I know I'm focusing on it. And I know the defensive backfield wasn't very good, right? And I know for the most part, although Dexter Lawrence may be early in the game, and you know he's a very good player, played well throughout the game, they got very little pressure. They made dumb mistakes. They had a couple killer penalties. They had a bunch of penalties offensively too, but they had killer penalties defensively. There's a lot of reasons. They allowed Sam Darnold to go down the field, like I said, 12 for 12, 99 yards. And then going allowing you to be one-on-one from the four on fourth and to let Justin Jefferson beat Banks for a touchdown. I mean, there's a ton of reasons. But it is impossible to move on from this offense and the quarterback play. And this coach, and again, I don't get hung up in the post game, but if you watch it, it's embarrassing. He has nothing to say about this team. He's got to watch everything. Like, it was remarkable how he could answer every question with the exact same response. It was actually, I'm surprised he had it in him to be able to do that. It's a difficult thing to do. But you watch this game. I mean, he took over the play calling from Kefka, right? And we talked about it. I thought it was a positive. I thought it was a positive because there was a lot of turmoil internally with it. He was just going to take it over. He was a dynamic play caller for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Over and over, and every time you saw film, anytime you saw any glimpse that SNY would give you or whoever would give you of glimpse of what was going on in camp, and you hear about how they're practicing with the Lions, and you see, oh, they're showing up tough, and they're going down the field, and Daniel Jones is throwing all these passes down the field, and then the game shows up, and it's the same crap. And people ask me, and I remember scoffing at the idea that this coach should be on the hot seat. How can you tell me an offensive head coach who just took over the play calling can give you performances like this? A coach who's supposed to develop quarterbacks, who you know the owner, for whatever reason, believes in this kid. They gave him $40 million a year to play quarterback for the New York Giants. Are you telling me a coach that coaches scared and punts at midfield when you clearly need a momentum changer in that game? A coach who's unable to call plays to get the ball down the field? A coach who took over the play calling and gave you this performance where they can't get in the end zone? Not against one of the world beaters, the Minnesota Vikings. Who, yes, they're coached well, and Flores is an excellent defensive coordinator, but their defensive backfield isn't very good, and they can't, with Neighbors and this new revamped offensive line, still nothing, can't get in the end zone. Daniel Jones throwing picks in the end zone. Daniel Jones, and really the only, you know, one time maybe you thought they had a chance to get back into this game after they force a punt and have an ability to go down the field and maybe get it within a score. And immediately, he just throws it right to the defensive end who injured him last year for a pick six. And there goes the game. I mean, you're telling me a head coach, an offensive head coach, a quarterback developing head coach has done nothing, takes over the play calling. It looks worse than last year, developing a young quarterback who has been worse since the year that he finally actually played well and Dable was actually to get something out of him, a regressing quarterback, an offense that looks the same, an inability to throw the ball down the field, and an inability to score touchdown passes. And let's not forget the fact that now, if you combine it, they've been beat 68-6 in the last two home openers to start the year. That head coach is nothing to worry about. That head coach isn't on the hot seat. This was a debacle on every level. And for those of us who never had faith in Daniel Jones, and those of us who thought year six of the year of Daniel Jones was ridiculous, and for those of us who were very concerned about what this quarterback room was going to look like, yeah, maybe yesterday wasn't the biggest of surprises, and yes, maybe the coach is the one real surprise, because we all felt like we had a coach, right? Brian Daboll was excellent 2 years ago. He changed the entire aura of the franchise. He led them to the playoffs. He beat this very team and this very head coach, who had a lot to say in the postgame. We'll get to it in the next segment. Won a playoff game, won a road playoff game, and the Giants under Joe Shane and Brian Daboll were about to build this thing up and get back to winning football for the New York Giants. And instead, from that moment, they were inept last year at the beginning of the season. They seemed ill-prepared, and the quarterback has only gotten worse. This was the biggest indictment yet on this head coach, without question. Without question. You could talk about all the stuff with Wink Martindale. You can talk about all the inner turmoil, yelling at Mike Kafka, giving him play calling, taking play calling away, giving him play calling, taking play calling away. You could talk about the 40-0 debacle against the Cowboys. You could talk about the miserable season, the way they handled the Jet game. There's a million things you can point to over the last year and a half with Brian Daboll and say, you know what? I'm not so sure. Nothing worse than yesterday. Nothing worse than after the embarrassment of last year to start the year. And the focus on what the start of this year means. And everybody, with the Lions. The dual practice with the Lions. They recognized last year they got embarrassed. They got to start the year off strong. They came out tough against the Lions. They were nose to nose with the best team in the NFC. They came out and crapped all over themselves yesterday. And now I don't trust the coach. I don't trust the GM. And the quarterback room is arguably this side of the Cleveland Browns only because of the contract they gave to Deshaun Watson. This is the worst. And when you have a roster that isn't very talented and you have a quarterback making $40 million who is terrible, where is your franchise? Like, right now, that's the question. Like, I understand we just started the year. I understand that, you know, it's a little early to just call the season dead. It's one game. They're playing a team next week in Washington that even under Daniel Jones, they have figured out a way to win most of the time. But when you don't have a lot of expectation for a season, when you don't think you're a playoff team necessarily, when you're hoping on the idea that this GM, as we saw in the Hard Knocks offseason edition, is trying to build this team from the ground up, you got a stud wide receiver. You got an offensive head coach. You revamped the offensive line. You're looking to take the ball down the field. You're looking to at least build something offensively. You know you have a weakness in the defensive backfield that you allowed that to get to the point where Adoree Jackson is your savior a week before the season starts. Like, when you're in this position with the New York Giants and you're banking on the idea that your GM is smart and your offensive head coach is a leader of men and a good offensive play caller and a good offensive coach, and you go out there and back-to-back seasons look like the most ill-prepared team in the NFL. You have a quarterback on a contract that's unpalatable, playing some of the worst the position has to offer in the entire league. Where are you as a franchise? Where are the New York Giants? I tweeted this out, and we can include this in the Yankee shill talk of the day if you'd like. But the word unserious has been thrown around a lot lately. I'm hearing it left and right. Unserious, unserious. You want to know what unserious looks like? The New York Giants are unserious. The New York Giants are in year three of Dable and Shane, and it's as bad as ever. We're in year six of Daniel Jones, and it's as bad as ever. They open up the season with some optimism, welcoming Sam Darnold into the building in the Minnesota Vikings, and it's as ugly as ever. And we are staring at another dead season, one of, I don't know, eight in the last 10, before Halloween, before Thanksgiving. And you're going to have Giant fans focused on their fantasy football leagues and focused on their prop bets and focused on anything other than New York Giants football, because they're going to render themselves useless within a few weeks, continuing to play a quarterback who can't function, continuing to have an offense that doesn't attack, and continuing to have a head coach who's playing it safe at every turn. Never mind a roster that isn't very good. Yesterday was a wake-up call for all the early optimism that you get in a lead-up to a season. Right, you could be down on the team. We all are. I'm down on the roster, down on this, down on that. I don't know how good they're going to be. But then as it gets closer, you start to, you know, feel that little bit of optimism. You know what? Neighbors is a really talented wide receiver. And when's the last time they had one? And you know what? Wandale Robinson can be pretty good. And if Hyatt can get down the field, I mean, maybe they do have a wide receiving core for the first time in what feels like a decade. And you know what? They did add some interior linemen. You know, this line should be a lot better. Andrew Thomas is a legitimate left tackle. If they could figure out a way to block for him, we have seen some promise from Daniel Jones, right? I mean, maybe they added a Dory Jackson. I love the front seven. And, you know, Sexy Dexy is one of the better players. And they're playing Sam Darnold week one. You know what? Maybe there's a chance that optimism starts to breed in. And then by 1:15, it washes over you. Like, what the hell was I thinking? This franchise has given me nothing to believe in it, and yet I do every year. Why? 28-6. Sam Darnold, 12 for 12, 99-yard drive. Quarterback who can't throw the ball down the field, and a coach who won't take chances. What an embarrassment yesterday was. Just, it's impossible to stomach.